What's up, guys? For week 4 for Family Gamer Reviews, weekly podcast, we're going to review Jotun, IO, and New Frontier Days. Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Michael from Family Gamer Review, and for week 4 of our weekly podcast, number one, I have to apologize for the fact that we did not get to do it on Thursday. I am still recovering from, an allergy cold, Camille?
It's definitely a cold of some sort. It's not infectious, but
I feel
allergies
infectious.
Are beating the heck out of you.
Yeah, I was a lot worse than what I am right now on, Thursday and Friday. We couldn't even record. I couldn't even speak Friday, yeah. And then the weekend was just bad.
Well, you're on the mend, so... Mm.
So, today, you know, in our weekly podcast, as of course, I have our candy corn...
I'll stick with candy corn.
I think she forgot which ones to use. But in any case, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about three games that this past week during our playtesting we got a chance to try out. And these three games are three... If you know, it's safe to say for me in this that these three games were so different from one from the other to the other. And I even dare to say that if we were watching The Twilight Zone, there would be three different universes in a multiverse.
Yeah, this is, you could almost call it a special episode because we're covering three titles that, number one, are very, very unique in and of themselves, and two, could not possibly be more different from one another, so.
Oh, yes, and... What are the games we're going to talk about, which is Jotun, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Thunder Lotus Games. I know parents out there, you know, and you know, we had some parents that I spoke with over the last couple of weeks when it came about this game, about religion. And I'm going to make this disclaimer now before we even start going into this review real quickly. There is, in my experience, there's a difference between talking about religion in games... and mythology of religion when it's displayed in movies and games and TV shows.
I find it hard to believe that anyone could even remotely be put off by the nature of Jotun, because to me, mythology is something that isn't even a current part of our... theology as a society as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like people go around worshiping Zeus or Odin or well, there are a few.
I met your friends from college, so
we're thinking of the same people.
Exactly. I just didn't want to say it because I really love them. They're good people. They're loving, but just say somebody has been eating too many mushrooms from 1998. So that being said,
college was colorful.
Yes, very colorful. So Jotun is rated T for teen.
Yeah, speaking of colorful, let's get back to Jotun.
Exactly. Now, Jotun is a game that, number one, I have to openly say, it's a hand-drawn animation game, so it's not pixelated like other games that you play, or retro something as Minecraft in its graphics, or something as sharp as Mass Effect or Halo and so forth. This is hand-drawn animation at its best.
Could I help explain
please,
that for
please.
A minute? Because I think especially a lot of parents who are not gamers will not understand or appreciate what it means for a video game to be hand-drawn or hand-animated. It's sort of like the equivalent of couture, where... you may have a very, very fancy gown that was hand-stitched. Each and every stitch, every bead, every sequin was all done by hand. Whereas you have your 8-bit games out there, they're done by computers. You have your blockbuster titles that almost look like live-action movies, done by computers. This game... takes a centuries-old art form and turns it into a digital adventure. And
yes.
You have to appreciate that.
I have to applaud. You know, I'm not saying that sarcastically,
golf
but
clap.
Yes. You know, I have to applaud Thunder Lotus Games. And when I first saw this game, I was blown away within the first 5 minutes. I was like,
sure.
This is beautiful. This is actual moving art. And the subject matter is you're Thora and you're at sea. I kind of don't want to give this full spoiler away, but she dies an unglorious death. And because she's a Viking, you know, Odin, the Allfather, you know, grants her the ability to say, fight your way back into Valhalla. Prove that you are worthy to be in Valhalla. And
Valhalla,
excuse me.
See, it is, Valhalla, I also want to explain, is quote unquote heaven to a Viking.
Yes.
And this is why we had mentioned before, you know, the religion aspect. You know, I personally can't understand how anyone could be offended because, you know, for the most part, aside from a few select college friends, people are not going around forsaking the word of God to get into Valhalla. It's kind of a really old thing that's been gone for, a few thousand years.
Yes, the best way I put it to some of the parents that I spoke to is, if you're comfortable with allowing your kid to watch the Avengers and be a fan of Thor, then you should feel just as comfortable allowing them to play this game.
Exactly. It's a story. It is not a challenge to any faith of any kind.
Exactly. And speaking about the story, it's a great story. There is bosses in the game. For those that want a challenge, there is a challenge to this. The bosses are not something you're going to walk in and you're going to be like, hey, I'm going to, you know, defeat this boss in 5 minutes or less and, you know, be done with it. No, there was a lot of challenge to each boss. Strategy, you know, looking at patterns, looking at how the bosses react. It was a big challenge, but it's a fun challenge. It's not something that's frustrating. It's more something that challenges you to say, hey, I'm going to take on this boss that, you know, shoots fire. Or, again, I don't want to give away spoilers on this, but it was a challenging game. And for those in your gaming family that love adventure games or just love just seeing beautiful games in motion, this has to be one of those must-haves in your digital library.
Absolutely. And we had no trouble. I was surprised because some of the bosses in the later levels can be pretty challenging. We always make the wrong assumption that, you know, maybe this will be a little too difficult for some of our special needs gamers. And again, it was the exact opposite because the challenge behind the boss battles really does lie in the strategy of knowing the pattern. And so we found no differences at all when it came to our special needs playtesting. You know, there really weren't any differences or any hang-ups or anything like that. But the game is, it's just great in so many ways. The main character is female. Mm-hmm. And there are not enough games out there that tell your young female gamers that, yes, you can be strong, you can be courageous, you can be the lead role in a game. There's the artwork aspect of it. For anyone who appreciates true fine art, you have to see Jotun. So there are so many different aspects that make this game really a one-of-a-kind title.
Yes, and again, this is something I highly recommend. It's been out for a while. You can get it for $14.99 through the Xbox One store or PlayStation store. Mm-hmm. This is something that is a must-have. We gave it a 9 out of 10. I know the rated T for teen may push some parents away from it, but we didn't feel like, if you read our written review on our site, we didn't feel it deserved a T for teen rating. It was more like an E through 10.
I would strongly agree because, yes, I understand and I do respect that the ESRB recognizes quote-unquote fantasy violence, which it's called, because the character, what's her name, Thora?
Thora.
She does have to fight her way into Valhalla, but one must understand that the actual violence on the screen is so tiny. So tiny, it's almost difficult to see where the blood was.
Or if there is, you know, even
if, or even if there is any blood, it's just that the enemies sort of evaporate or disappear. But yes, technically she is fighting, so that counts as fantasy violence and gives it a T for teen rating. We felt that if your child watches Saturday morning cartoons or any daytime programming from Cartoon Network, then this game is more than suitable for anyone 10 and up easily, if not even a little bit.
Yes, I totally agree.
If they're old enough to grab the concept and the controls, then they're pretty much old enough to play, in my book, in my personal opinion.
Exactly. So, again, guys, that's something I would highly recommend for you guys to pick up and play, even have in your digital library. Now, the second game was IO. Now, IO was complete opposite of Jotun. It was, you're literally like a little spinning wheel, and you could grow or shrink, and you have to go through levels and reach to your goal. Now, you build up momentum. It's more about perpetual, you know, motion.
Mm-hmm.
And this was more of a mixed feeling amongst the gaming family. What did you think, Cam?
I felt that it was brilliant in its concept. It was brilliant in its theory. But it lacked certain basic elements of a video game, such as a background, maybe some music, maybe a little bit more of a story to it.
It felt like a scientific test, to be honest with you. I love the concept of it, don't get me wrong. I think it's a great idea to, you know, as a brain tester or teaser or puzzler. It was pretty decent for that, but a lot of the testers that played it actually got bored really quickly, and that was very sad to see that.
They did. Now, by that same token, I am going to argue that you may want IO in your digital library anyway. And you're probably wondering why. You just said that it lacks some of the basic elements of a video game, like a background or music, and
well, there's a little bit music, but not enough.
Right. There's a little bit in terms of ambient music and whatnot, but the game is more like a fun educational tool. And so I view IO as sort of a crossover between a learning tool and a game. So, for example, if your child has trouble with geometry or math or physics, then the first thing you should do is run out and grab a copy of IO, or go online more appropriately and grab a copy of IO. And another thing too, and I know this is a crazy suggestion, but I've seen, you know, a lot of parents grapple with the idea of, should I let my child game or not? Should I give them that screen time? Maybe they did something that, you know, didn't get into major trouble, but you don't want to reward them with a gaming night. Have them put in IO and say, if you want a game, you're going to learn something. Because the one thing about IO is you really cannot help but learn physics. You can't help but learn just the way that things move when you play IO.
I agree. Being a gamer, I enjoyed the game.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the game was with IO is that there was no gray. It was either the difficulty was very easy and you were able to go through the game without any problems, and then there was times where the difficulty was to the point of just controller shattering, because you're like, okay, you're teaching me this dynamic of how to grow and shrink to go up a wall. But then it's not working, because so at times we even had to test some of our controllers. It just felt like there was a lag in the game where if you try to grow and shrink, it wasn't happening. And just to be devil's advocate and just to test everything, I went and tested on the other machine. It did the same thing on there. We switched out controllers. It was maybe just a communication issue. I'm hoping that the developer will probably fix this in a future update. Some of the testers just didn't like it.
Well, it's true. It's not an engaging game. Where, you know, just to give you an example, you are never going to open your front door and see a handful of gamers with consoles under their arm saying, hey, can we have a LAN party and play I.O.? It's not going to happen.
That's cruel.
No child. I'm not knocking the developer. I'm just being honest about, you know, to me, it wasn't just about the level of challenge. It was about, will it engage the gamer long enough for them to even get to that level of challenge? Because, again, it is a fabulous education tool. It is kind of fun to play with the ball and, go through, you know, some puzzles and figure out how to make the ball lighter or heavier or fly across wheel. But it does lack that, I've been waiting all day at school so I could come home and get in a good game of IO.
True. And again, this is something where I and Camille will both recommend for parents to download a demo, you know, try it out. You know, now these days with both Microsoft and Sony, you could download a demo. Mm-hmm. Even with Microsoft, you could download a full game. You could purchase the game. I'm not sure about Sony yet, but with Microsoft, you could download a full game. And as long as it's within 2 hours, you could actually, if you don't like it, you could refund it digitally now, which is, I think, is a great thing that Microsoft did. So, best thing to do, you know, you heard our 2 cents. It's probably time to put your 2 cents in, help an indie developer. Try it out for yourself. You may disagree with us and say, hey, I love this game. I thought this game was great. Or, hey, Mike and Camille, you guys are right. This game is something that may not appeal to my whole digital family.
And guess what? It may surprise you. It may appeal to a grown-up in your family, because if you know someone who, you know, those people who pick up puzzles and just cannot put them down until they're solved, IO is their kryptonite. You know, this is a title that type of person would really, really enjoy.
So that being said, we're going to talk about the final title. It's on the Nintendo Switch. It was before on the 3DS, if I remember correctly. This was a couple of years back, which is New Frontier Days Founding Pioneers. Try saying that 5 times. Now, this title, it's $9.99. It's currently available on the Switch eStore from Nintendo. It's kind of like a farming. It's more or less of a city builder, which you build on a farmland. You got to hunt. You got to fish. You got to plant your crops. You got to do a lot of micromanaging to build your civilization and survive the new frontier. Now, we did this in limited testing with, you know, some of our gamers, because some in our gaming family just hate micromanaging. You try to get a 10-year-old to cut the grass, you know.
Yeah.
So others enjoyed it. I was one of them that enjoyed it. But then again, I'm an old timer. So for any game for me to sit there where I could fish and not to laugh, you know, shear sheep, hide from a bear, and cut firewood, I'm a happy person.
Well, it's more in concept. It's not like you're out there playing Cabela's every day, you know, pro bass fishing. I think what Michael means is he enjoys the simulation games where you build a society, or there's another game that we're reviewing, the prison one.
Prison Architect. We won't talk about it because of the mature rating and everything, but we will have a review up for that one.
But just an example, you know, Michael does love simulation games where you're either building a society, a farm, a frontier, whatever the case. And some people just, they're not into it. You know, just the same way that some people do not like documentaries, there are some people who just simply cannot stand subtitles.
Or musicals.
or that's, yeah, I do sort of fall into that category, but there are some people that simply don't like Sims, and that doesn't mean that it's a bad game. Mm-hmm. It just means that it's the person's not into Sims.
It's an acquired taste. Like, I'll give you an example. I have a cousin that loves anchovies under pizza. Do we want to slap this cousin when we say, hey, what would you like to eat? And he just mentions anchovies on a pizza. Yes, we want to slap him, but it's an acquired taste. And that's what New Frontiers is.
Now, I will say there are a lot of gamers out there who love simulation games. Mm-hmm. Like, well,
Tropico 5.
Sims, the Sims obviously was, you know, sort of the birth of that.
And, you know, I'm not knocking New Frontier.
Isn't Minecraft? Couldn't you technically call Minecraft?
It's kind of, sort of, but New Frontier has its own taste, such as...
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, before you think that we're knocking it, we're not. Actually, I thought it was a great game, and we gave it a 7 on our site when the review goes up later on this week. But it was a great game, but it's an acquired taste. It's something that, you know, if you have someone in your gaming family that is a fan of this type of game, then they will enjoy it. Now, one thing that was a turnoff to some is the micromanaging, because you have to chop down a tree to get firewood, and then you have to process it in your sawmill, and then you either can use the processed wood to either build a new structure or sell it to have more funds. Some people are like, look, I do this for a living at work. I don't want to come home and micromanage for, you know, several hours a day.
And you also have to keep the characters in the game happy, so you can't let them be idle. So if one is idle, you have to very quickly assign it to a task, him or her. At the same time, there are some people who do this type of thing for a living, and they love coming home and playing a game like this as a wind down game. And that's what I found with New Frontier Days. It was almost mesmerizing, relaxing.
Yes.
At first, I thought I was bored. At first, I thought. And then about 20, 25 minutes later, I had watched Michael plant wheat, harvest wheat, shear sheep, chop firewood, you know, with all of the...
Fish. I went fishing.
The pioneers in the game. And I'll tell you, it was so relaxing. And for that reason, from a parent's perspective, I think it's a fabulous title to have in your digital library, because in my personal opinion, one thing you should always have in your game arsenal, and yes, in this particular aspect, I am going to say game arsenal. You need to have something in your arsenal to calm kids down.
Yes.
Especially if we're talking about special needs kids and there maybe was too much stimulation in the day, maybe a loud, noisy environment with a lot of shuffling around. Those types of things could aggravate kids off the spectrum, let alone on. So this game, New Frontier Days, for me, it goes on the list of calm down games, and I would, should I give it the wine challenge?
Yes, the Camille's famous wine challenge.
It's my famous wine challenge. Now, don't forget, you can still have that glass of wine, but my challenge is this. It's a very, very easy pickup to and play game.
I kind of disagree, because there is a steep learning curve to understand, like, the dynamics of, you know, if you go and harvest something, then... No, actually, I take that back. It's because you got to learn how the game works. It's not something that you, for someone that's never played a Sims type of game before, a simulation game, you got to learn that if you chop down firewood, you have to build a sawmill to process it. And then you have to either sell it off or use it to build other things. But the game does a great job explaining it.
Yes, and when I say easy to pick up and play, think of that in the grand scheme of things. Number one, if I was able to pick up and play, it's an easy to pick up and play game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then yes.
Thanks for that vote of confidence, Mike.
You're welcome.
But at the same time, compare it to some other games where, especially, you know, blockbuster titles, and even a lot of indie games, RPGs, where, you know, there's so much micromanagement from, you know, one gun, five different scopes. Do I use an ACOG scope, a holographic scope? Which grip do I use? You know, 20 different options for one gun. Mm-hmm. No, this is simple. And that's why it gets the wine challenge, because the wine challenge is this. If you come home from a long, hard, stressful day at work, I challenge you to play this game for about 20 to 25 minutes and see if you are not just as relaxed as you would have been if you had the glass of wine right away.
Exactly.
My bet is that you will be just as relaxed, and then you can get up and go ahead and pour it if you still want it. But that's why I believe it's such a great game, especially for special needs kids.
Yes. And I would agree with that, because it's a great parent and child game to play together. Even though it's a single player game, but, you know, for a parent to help guide a child, say, hey, you know, you just gathered mm-hmm. this firewood, or you just did this, let's do this. And it's a great game for families, I think.
It is a great bonding game, and I know we're short on time, but the one thing that I do have to mention, you know, I love any game that helps develop a child's mind, helps with developmental skills, and guess what? It's nothing but resource management and decision making. So it's a great cognitive game, you know, to learn. Mike is right. There is that learning curve, and you learn action and reaction. If I plant the wheat, I've got to harvest it, and I've got to produce food and keep people happy. And mm-hmm. I think that's a real brain trainer.
It is. And you know, again, this is a game that's inexpensive. It's like $9.99, if I remember correctly, from the Switch store.
Well worth it.
Yeah, well worth it. $10, it's well worth the pickup. Even if you personally don't like it, someone in your gaming family will. So
I want to say that all three games that we've discussed today, I think, are more than worth the money.
Yes.
None of them are bank breakers. IO, I will agree with you and say play a demo first.
Because it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Right, just to make sure that it's not a dust collector on the shelf. But I still think that it was brilliant in its concept. Whoever the developer was, Mike, you keep track of that stuff. But I would like to shake his hand and say thank you for bringing, you know, another great cognitive game into the gaming industry. But no, you're not going to have a case of Mountain Dew and a box of Munchies and kids scratching to play IO.
Exactly. So, you know, I hope that you guys, you know, found something useful in our podcast. You know, oh, excuse me. You know, I'm sorry about my voice sounding like this. I have to blame all the trees where we live. But again, guys, we always encourage you to ask us any questions. Use the hashtag AskFGR. And, you know, you can reach us all through social media. You know, we're not old, we're not young kids, so we're not on Snapchat or what's the other one?
WhatsApp.
You know, we're on Facebook,
Instagram. We don't know WhatsApp.
We don't know WhatsApp. So so you can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We just through our website. If you're listening through the website here, just, you know, leave us a message. You know, we'll be happy to answer any questions.
That's true, Mike. Answers a lot of questions individually for, you know, families, and I would like to give a little golf clap to Mike for that, because there are a lot of families now that are gaming together and gaming a lot more happily because of people who come and do ask questions.
Exactly.
So keep doing so.
Again, how Camille says it, the family that games together
stays together.
Mm-hmm. And for that, thank you so much for giving us your time on this podcast. This is Michael.
And Camille.
And we'll see you on episode 5. Take care.